Welcome to the Bomb and Gouge podcast. I'm your host, Gary Bissell. This is a bonus episode where I'm going to talk about millennials. Welcome in. Today, I felt compelled to make this extra episode this week and talk about those millennials. It's almost like taboo. It's like a swear word, almost. A millennial is someone, by most definitions, born between the years of 1981 to 2000. There are some variations of that. I've seen 1980 to 1999, but right around that area. So if you were born from 1981 to the year 2000, you know, you're a pretty terrible person by most people's accounts. So I myself am a millennial. I was born in 1989, and I coach millennials mostly, and not so much anymore. Anyone who's coming in now from pretty much this point forward is no longer a millennial, but I've coached a lot of millennials, and I've taught golf full-time for 7 or 8 years now, and taught a lot of millennials in the lesson realm as well, and spent a lot of time around America's youth, if you will. So, you know, the stats on millennials, and I work at a university, obviously, Grand Valley State University, and I'm men's head golf coach there. And we talk a lot about this youth and how to coach them. And most of my peers are baby boomers. You know, I'm a fairly young coach. And certainly most of our administration is baby boomers. And there's a lot of talk about, well, millennials, how do we get through to them? They're so different. And there's no doubt. There's some differences. But I want to talk about my take. And, you know, I just see so much on the news and, you know, in magazines and on podcasts, this and that, radio, about millennials. And first thing I want to talk about is I love that we just stereotype them, right? We don't accept stereotypes in anything, right? You can't stereotype based on gender, race, none of that. Age is even age itself, we're not supposed to discriminate against. Like, you can't not hire somebody because of their age, right? Unless it's a job that's a certain age requirement. But in the work world, right, like, you can't say the reason we didn't hire this person is because he's 26, even though he was a better candidate, we just wanted the 35-year-old. You can't do that. But what we can do, apparently, is take a group, first of all, people that were born 19 years apart, which is also laughable to me, and just say all these people are the same. They're all the same, every single one of them. And what they are, we say, is entitled. We say lazy a lot. Oh, they're so lazy, these millennials. You can't get them to do anything. They're so lazy. You know, and they're entitled. And really what they are is they're what we've called every generation. What the previous generation is called the generation before it. So, to give you an example, one of the ones that I love, in 2013, Time Magazine, on their cover, called the millennials the me, me, me generation. And it had this, you should read the article, it's pretty impressive. You know, it talks about basically just how lazy they are and entitled and immature. One of the stats they give is, more millennials that are in their 20s from in 2013. If you're in your 20s, you are more likely to live with your parents than with a spouse. Okay, so that makes them sound really bad, right? But what's funny is in 1976, New York Magazine posted on their cover an article, and their main thing that month was the Me Decade. And that was in 1976. And that was talking about baby boomers. They were the me decade. So if you're a little older, okay, so you're a baby boomer, the first thing I want you to ask yourself is this. Are you maybe looking at millennials just as youth and then classifying them as people? So for instance, let me make this more clear. Let's say you're 50 years old and you're listening to this, or 60 years old and you're listening to this. When you were 18, 19, 20, 17, anywhere in that neighborhood, let's call it 15 to 24. Tell me if these could have described you at certain times. Did you sometimes make poor decisions? Did you sometimes not give your best effort? every once in a while, did you find yourself trying to find a shortcut in something you didn't want to do? Do those describe you at all? Maybe. I think it probably does. I think if it doesn't, I think you're probably being unrealistic with yourself. So the first thing I would say is, I think they're just young, right? Like, millennials are just young. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to come off as lazy at times. And the other thing that I love, I've heard grown adults who are not millennials, who I know very well, and I would give their work ethic, knowing them as well as I do, a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. Like, people who don't really blow me away with their work ethic. And they complain about this younger generation's work ethic and talk about how they grew up. And, you know, the classic stories of having to walk uphill both ways to bale hay and, you know, do this and that. And it was so impossible to grow up back then. You know, it was so hard. So these all kind of make me laugh a little bit, but I'm going to give, you know, I'm not bashing the baby boomers either here. So, you know, before you shut this off and just give me some time to get through my spiel here. But so these millennials are, as I've said, they're criticizes all this stuff. So from my perspective, all right, and I'm going to give some stats and some other things as I go about this. But from my perspective, they're just young adults or kids. All right, if they're under 18 to me, they're probably a kid. If they're 18 to whatever, they're young adults. So I look at, like, they're going to make mistakes. And here's the other deal. A lot of them are lazy. A lot of them are really, really lazy. But I promise you, there was some really lazy baby boomers. And I promise you, there was some really entitled me, me, me baby boomers. All right. Now, on the other side, I've coached and taught millennials that have phenomenal work ethics. Unbelievable. Unbelievable discipline. Right? Like, I just don't stereotype an entire generation of people as they're all the same. Because, like I said, it's amazing how we can do this with 1981 to 2000, which, first of all, if you were born in 1999, your upbringing in terms of the world and what the world looked like is nothing like someone who was born in 1981. Not even close. I was born in 1989, and I can't believe how different someone who was born in 1997, how much different their upbringing was. For instance, if you were born in 1999 or 2000, you probably had a cell phone in middle school, and it was probably a smartphone, right? It had internet, everything like that. If you were born in 1981, there's almost no chance you had a cell phone in college. Almost no chance. Going by years, I don't really know how you could have. You might have had a prepaid phone or something like that, but you didn't have anything that had internet. It wasn't even out. So, like, your upbringing was very, very different. So I don't even really know how someone born in 1999 can be compared to someone born in 1981, right? Like, even for me, born in 1989, my first cell phone was right about when I first started driving. So I think, because I think I got one when I started driving because my parents got me a prepaid one so that, you know, I couldn't use any of the minutes because it would cost money, or they already prepaid it, however. And the only way I was allowed to use it, and it could only make phone calls, was if, like, I got in a car wreck or something like that, and it was for emergencies, right? Like, I remember using the landline to talk to my girlfriends and friends and whatnot all the way through high school. I didn't get a smartphone until after I graduated college. Like, it wasn't until I got into the job world where I had a cell phone that had internet, right? So it's already very different just even trying to classify those as the same people. Like, I don't quite understand that portion. But to me, the technology is the thing that does have influence and does start to separate the way these people act. It doesn't mean they're lazy and entitled. It just means there's some differences in the way they go about things, okay? So if I'm going to sit here, and I know at this point it sounds like I'm saying baby boomers are awful and millennials are reverse. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I think there's great people everywhere, and I think there's bad people everywhere of any generation, any race, any gender, whatever. It's just silly to classify all these people. So here's the thing I will say from the millennial perspective. that I've noticed throughout my life relative to an older, someone who's a baby boomer, a little more up there in age relative to a millennial, and things that I do think are different. And for the most part, I'd feel comfortable stereotyping it. All right. One of those is this generation like thing, right? That one I do see as an issue, and I see it all the time, where, you have so many friends. Let's say someone is a high school or college student right now. I'm concerned with a lot of them, right? They have so many friends, as in Facebook friends, Twitter followers. Right? I've got 1,000 friends on Facebook. No, you don't. There's no way more than 20 of the people, those are your friends, probably. Right? Those are just people who like to creep on you and see the stuff you're up to. All right? Stay engaged. Those people aren't going to be there for you when you need something. All right? When you're in a moment of weakness, they're not going to come finding you and helping you out. All right? You don't have that many friends. And I worry, it's like we get so concerned about how many likes am I getting and how many favorites, retweets, all this crap. Right? Rather than like, do you have any really solid relationships based around love? Because that's really what's most important, right? At the end of the day, I mean, I don't think even with this millennial generation, Generation Y, Z, all this stuff, I don't think we're ever going to see anyone on their deathbed and they're going to be like, oh man, I really wish I would have got more retweets when I was in college. But like, that's probably not what they're ever going to say, right? You know, they may say, I wish I would have spent more time with my wife and kids, you know, my father, this and that, okay? That's what they're going to say. So at the end of the day, that never changes. That's what's most important. And I do think technology, we may have lost our way a little bit, all right, because of technology. But that's just, it is what it is. And I think as this generation gets older, the millennial generation, they will start to gravitate back toward those things, right? And find those things as the most important. And the retweets and likes will go away. Like, I don't see the millennial generation being obsessed with retweets. Or, well, it won't even be retweets by then, whatever the hell it may be, right? When they're 50 years old. By then, they're going to have kids, possibly grandkids. That's going to be their world, all right? Now, in the sports realm, here's what I have seen that really bothers me, and it is hard, but as a coach, when you're recruiting, you've got to figure these things out. You know, you got to put in so much effort to figure these people out individually and determine what makes them tick. I call the millennials and generation, it's Y or whatever it is after 2000, Z. I don't really get too caught up in all this, but what I call them is the highlight generation, all right? Because one thing I have noticed, and we do it with sports and comparing eras now, is we're reduced to highlights, right? It's amazing to me, you watch a football game or a basketball game on TV, and like they can come up with these highlights in a matter of seconds. So that's all we ever show, right? Is highlight, 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 and then we have the SportsCenter Top 10, and anyone can get on SportsCenter Top 10. You know, like you see it all the time, like some high schooler, you know, makes a three-quarter court shot to win a game and all of a sudden he's the number one play on SportsCenter. That might have been his only 3 points the entire game, all right? But he got on SportsCenter and now he's the man, right? Because he made a three-quarter court shot. And I do see a lot of athletes now in this generation care more about making a highlight play than winning or being the best. Like being the best has gotten away from us a little bit. In terms of, we just want to do what gets the most likes, right? What is going to increase our political stance, but popularity, right? What's going to make me more popular? This one play, all right, would make me more popular if I can get on SportsCenter Top 10 than, you know, doing the right things to make sure that we win this game. And so I see a lot of failures trying to make highlights, all right, or vice versa. Like, just way too much celebration. Like, I've always laughed. You watch the NFL now, and I mean, I think it's worse now than it was in the past, but it's always been there a little bit. Like, my favorite thing in the NFL, and it was absolutely horrible, the Detroit Lions for a number of years, and it's gone away a little bit. I think their culture is getting a little better, but I love when we see a DB bat a ball down. Not interception, right? Just bats a ball down and celebrates like you just won the Super Bowl. Like, you just did your job. And you didn't even go above and beyond the call of duty, right? You didn't have a pick six, none of that. But you just batted the ball down. And you are celebrating. You're getting in the other guy's face. Like, yeah, look at me. I'm the man. I just did what I'm supposed to do. Awesome, dude. Great job. Like, I can't believe how amped we get over these routine plays, you know? And then if we make a highlight play, oh my gosh, right? Like, you want to be known for that forever. Like, whatever happened to just, I want to win the game, right? Because that's the guys I want on my team, right? I don't need the guy that gets in and shot 75, but he keeps telling everybody about this amazing shot he hit, you know, from wrapping it around this tree and slicing around the tree onto the green. Okay, dude, what about the basic up and down that you didn't get up and down? What about the wedge, you know, that 100-yard wedge shot that you missed the green from the fairway 100 yards out? You know, because those are what helped us lose today. You know, your miracle shot was great. Don't get me wrong. You might have saved a shot, but you lost a bunch of other shots on some routine fundamental stuff. Okay, so that's one thing I do see that bothers me a little bit, but it's not all of them. All right, and there was guys like that in the past. There's always been guys like that, showboaters, this and that. I think maybe there's more of it today because you make one great play and all of a sudden you're famous for 3 days. But that's the problem. You're famous for 3 days and then you're forgotten. All right. So, I see the technological effect. Like, I think technology has had some effect. But do I think it's just made everybody lazy? No. I think it's made a lot of people way more efficient. Right? Like, you can find stuff so fast and you can learn so much now. I mean, you used to have to go to a library, right, and spend hours in there just to learn a couple things. Like, now you can, I mean, every morning I watch a TED Talk. That's my routine. All right. I wake up in the morning and I get my coffee and I watch a TED Talk, sometimes two, depending on how disciplined I was in getting up as early as I wanted to before I got to get into work. But I'll watch a TED Talk and try and learn something, you know, and I try and mix my categories and just become a well-rounded human being, right? I like to read. So all these things, right? Or you can listen to podcasts, informational podcasts, and you just have so much information at your fingertips. So technology is mostly good, all right? If you channel it and you don't get caught up in the dopamine of the likes, right? Just being so obsessed with likes, all right? Focus on meaningful relationships. Once again, that'll probably happen as they get older anyway. So let's transition to this. The me, me, me. All right. It's all about me. I think part of that is due to this. Millennials get married a lot later than baby boomers did. They have kids a lot later. All right. The teen pregnancy rate is down a ton. I researched the heck out of these stats and I found the teen pregnancy rate was one that I just kept finding a little bit different information everywhere, so I'm not going to just spill out stats on that, but there's no question on all of them it was down. I'm just not going to give you specific numbers because it varied depending on what site I looked at. All right, but teen pregnancy is down, but here's the one that is pretty eye-opening to me. In 1970, the average age people got married was 21 years old. 21. That is like, no one gets married at 21 anymore. I mean, obviously, I'm being exaggerating. Right? It's not no one, but it's very rare. You know, and the funny part is, this is what I love about the baby boomers. If you get married at 21, like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? You're doing this way too. It's like, you did it. So, once again, are you just not remembering what it was like when you were this age? And so, like, it's so easy. Is a 45, 50-year-old where you're wise, right? You've learned so much through all the years. And then you look at 22-year-olds and 21-year-olds and 19-year-olds and go, why don't you know this? Well, it's because they're 19. Like, they aren't going to know what you know. But it doesn't make them bad people, right? They're going to grow up and be just like you. And they're going to be wise at some point. But right now, they're not. 2017, the average age of marriage is 28. So we're getting married on average 7 years later, okay? So it's not surprising to me that people in their early 20s are a little more me, me, me focused than maybe the baby boomers were, because most millennials don't have a spouse and children to provide for, right? Because once that happens, I don't care You know, if you're a decent human being, I don't care if you're a millennial, a baby boomer, if you're fought in the Civil War, I don't care. Right? If you're a decent human being and you have kids and you've got a spouse, that's your focus, providing for them. Millennials don't have that, most of them, at 23, 24 years old. So what do you want them to focus on? Of course, they're focused on them. They're trying to advance their career, right? They're trying to become the best they can be. Yeah, some of them live with their parents, all right? Trying to save, or maybe they're just lazy. Some of them are lazy, but it's not all of them. It's not all of them, okay? So I think that has a lot to do with it, is, yeah, they're not as focused on other things. They're focused on them, all right? The other thing that's amazing about millennials is how many jobs they will have and how many places they will live. That makes relationships hard. All right, I'm 29 years old. I've lived in 3 different states. I've lived, you know, since I graduated college, which I graduated college at 23. I was on the 5-year plan. And so in 6 years, I've lived in 3 states. I've lived in Arizona, I've lived in Florida, and I've lived in Michigan. Just in Michigan alone, I've lived in Lansing, Gaylord, and Grand Rapids. So I've lived in 5 different locations in 6 years. And by the way, I've been here for 4. So do the math, right? Moving all over the place, right out of college, trying to kind of find my way. All right. So, you know, these things are a lot different. All right. There's just some generational differences here, but it just doesn't make them bad. How about this? The one that I loved out of that Time magazine, the me generation, all right, was the stat that really jumped off, and it makes them sound awful. Like this, I do agree. When I hear the stat, I'm like, oh, millennials, what are you doing? Is that more millennials in their 20s live with their parents than live with a spouse. Well, A, like off the top, right, it sounds like a bad stat. If we know the average age of getting married is 28, it's going to be pretty tough for a lot of them to live with their spouse. Like they're not married yet. So how the hell are they going to live with their spouse? Most of them aren't even getting married till they're almost 30. So right there, the stat is skewed. Here's the other way it's skewed. The economy that a lot of millennials graduated college in was so bad. I mean, the worst since the Great Depression, right? Like that was about when I was in college. Oh, wait, I was in college in 08. A lot of my friends were graduating in 08. I graduated in 2012. All right, it was back up on the, it was on the upswing, but still wasn't great, wasn't as good as it is now, and certainly wasn't as good as it was for the baby boomers. The baby boomers inherited a rich country, right? It's kind of like the prime of the United States, if you think about it. So 1977, United States debt to GDP ratio, 35%. You know what it is now? 103% and rising. How about this? In 2018, right now, we have a $4 trillion deficit in our country in infrastructure. These are problems. And there are problems that we just look at as Americans in general. I don't care what age you are. We just go, it's just debt. Whatever. Let's make some payments on it. No worries. Interest? Whatever. All right? We don't worry about it. And that's a lot of the reason why we're in trouble. So, like, if you graduate college in the worst economic situation since the Great Depression, I would say it's fairly likely there's a chance you might live with your parents for a little while in your 20s. Like, and I probably wouldn't blame you too much for that. All right. You're struggling. You can't find a job. I'll give you a great example. Not one in specific, but I had a bunch of friends that graduated Michigan State University and you know, all these nice schools, like Michigan State, the examples I'm thinking of, I'm thinking of like 2 or 3 of my friends that graduated from MSU with business degrees, right? That's a very nice degree. And they were waiting tables for their first couple years out of college because they graduated in 2009, 2010. And it wasn't that they wanted to do that, right? They're letting their resume fly everywhere. They're trying to network. It was just hard to get a job. Like, it was really hard. And so they lived with their parents, and they waited tables, tried to save up money, right? Like, I don't think there's a big amount of shame in that. Like, if you're 30 and live with your parents, okay, that's something to get worried about, all right? But 23, 24, like, it's not ideal, Like, I didn't do it, and I didn't want to do it. I love my parents, but I just wasn't going to live with them. But I also understand it. Like, if you need to. I think that's totally understandable with the situation they were given. Okay, so I just look at it, like, I don't really know why we're so hard on millennials and we're calling them so lazy. Like, if you're a coach and you feel this way, I don't think you're doing your homework in recruiting. I'm sorry. Like, I've made mistakes. I've had some players I would classify as lazy. I've given some golf lessons for a long period of time, you know, many lessons, and gotten to know them, to some millennials that I would call lazy, for sure. I also have the pleasure of teaching a lot of baby boomers. I give a lot of baby boomers golf lessons. And guess what? Some of them are real lazy too. All right. And they don't put in the work that they say they're going to. You know, if you have lazy millennials on your team, I think you're just recruiting poorly. You know, I think you need to do a little more in depth, and it's hard. All right. So like I said, I'm not sitting here trying to say I have all the answers, because believe me, the reason I watch TED Talks every morning and the reason I'm making phone calls all the time to people that are wiser than me is because I have so much to learn. All right. I think I know 5% of what I need to know, all right, to truly be successful and get to the point that I want to be. But all right, the thing I know is I've recruited some great ones too. All right. And some people that they don't fit the mold of a millennial in any way, shape, or form. All right. And they're extremely hardworking. But on the other end, I've made some mistakes and got some lazy ones too. All right. In terms of just from that performance perspective, all right, I wouldn't consider anyone I've ever recruited a mistake. Right? But I'm not going to get too deep into that. But yeah, you just have different levels of work ethics. Like, that's just people. All right. Like, that's not a millennial thing. Okay, so I would say this. If I was to give myself some advice and anyone else, which, once again, I don't even think I'm in the position to do, right? I'm 29. I'm still trying to figure things out on my own, and I'm trying to get better every day, and I make mistakes all the time. But if you're frustrated with your players, or if you're a teacher, whatever it is, and you feel like, man, all these people I work, they're just so lazy. I wish I could get more on. They're entitled, right? But take a look in the mirror and just say, am I setting the best example being a leader? Am I working my butt off? You know, because then it's a lot easier to say to someone, you know, like, I'll tell you this, if you're a coach and you're late to practice, how can you ever get on one of your players about being late to practice? But if you show up 10 minutes late for practice more than once in a great while because, you know, something got in the way, whatever. Like, how can you sit there and tell your players you got to be on time for practice? All right, if you're disengaged at times at practice, how can you tell your players to be engaged? Like, they're not going to listen. That's not a millennial thing. That's a people thing. You got to earn respect. I don't care who you are. Right? Just because you're in a position of authority does not command you respect. Respect to me is always earned. All right. And that means I got to earn my players' respect every day, every week, every year. All right. And on the other side, like, that's fair to me. Just because I'm I hold the card. All right. In terms of if you're being lazy and this and that, I can cut you. All right. And we can do this, we can do that. So there may be somewhat of a fear factor, but that's not respect. Right. If you really want to have a successful business program, this and that, you got to earn respect. So that would be the first thing. All right. Make sure you're doing your part. All right. Secondly, give them the tools. All right. A lot of the times people don't work hard because they don't know how to. Remember, young. Like, they don't know everything. They don't know what you know. So are you giving them the tools? You know, like, say for practice. I'll keep this golf related. You tell a player, hey, I need you to practice 3 hours a day. All right, that's what we need from you for you to be your best. That's a lot of practice. All right. And if they're doing that every day, 7 days a week, they're going to run out of ideas. Are you telling them how to practice, how to get better? What about when they don't see results? What about when they do what you ask, but they don't get results? You think they're going to keep doing it? No, because they're not insane. That's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. So if they're doing what you ask and not getting results, that's on you. It's time for you to change that. All right. And that's I've been there a million times. All right. Like, I've made a million mistakes where I thought this is what this person needs to do, and then they don't get the results. All right. I'm not going to be stubborn and say, you didn't do it right, even though I watched you do it the way that I asked you to do it. All right. It's time for me to change my game plan. All right. So, first, you got to earn the respect by being what you preach yourself. All right. I don't think in this world of leadership, if you want to be a great leader, there's no do as I say, not as I do. If you do that, not a great leader right out of the gate. You're going to have a hard time commanding respect. All right. And then the second part is, if you don't give them the tools, you can't expect consistency and results, because they got to know what they're doing. Once again, they're young. All right. They don't know what they're doing. That's what you're there for as a leader. And I'm not just speaking, I'm using golf as an example, but like, this is for, you know, if you're the manager of a store and blah, 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 like, it's all the same. Leadership is leadership. So, you know, the millennial thing, I just look at it, you know, as a, let's call it in conclusion, right? I used to always write papers like that, in conclusion at the end, which as I look back on that, I feel like that's so dumb. But anyway, in conclusion, I think technology has changed people a little bit, all right? And there's some great things about technology, and there's a couple bad things. So you got the technology piece. The other piece is, I think the millennials were raised just not great, all right, as a whole. You know, the general messages, and I'm not talking about parents, I'm talking about mostly schooling. We did participation ribbons, which is, I think there's enough data, like it's like the worst thing we've ever done, right? Is just teach people like, hey, you're the 10th best out of 11 people. Good job. No. Hell no. Doesn't mean you're not a great person. Just means you're not very good at this. And if you don't like it, get better. Sorry. And then the second piece, right? Participation ribbons. I remember getting one of those. Actually, I'm digressing a little, but I remember getting one of those when I was in elementary school. And it was just like, I mean, there's no way I was keeping that thing. Like, that thing was going in the trash right away. So, you know, between the participation ribbons and the technology, you know, I just think there was some major issues there in the way. And then the last thing I would say, and this would go back to, you know, what I saw graduating college, is I think millennials were frustrated when they graduated college, because I can tell you, and every millennial, sorry, not millennial, I hate that it's that wide of a gap, but say around my age, if you were in school, and it may be true for more, but I don't know, if you were in school, you were born from 1986 to 1992, right? Okay, great. Like, I know what we were told in school. You have to go to college, and when you graduate college, you're going to get a great job. Because you graduate, if you get a degree, that's an amazing thing. But you know what the issue is that you caused? Is we listened. And everybody went to college. And all of a sudden, having a bachelor's degree didn't make you special anymore. Like, you're sending in a resume. Hey, I have a bachelor's degree. Great. So are 300 other candidates. What separates you? We weren't told that. We were just told, get a bachelor's degree. Life's great. All right? And so, now, the scary part is, and I got to cut this off here in a second, because I could go on for an hour about this next, but and then it was, okay, now I got to go get a master's and a PhD and an MBA, and you got to get all these things, and now all of a sudden, you're $200,000 in debt, and even if you get that great job, you're paying off debt forever, all right? Like, what would have been awesome is if someone would have said, listen, you do got to go to college. It's really hard to get a great job without a degree. People have done it. But they're the outliers, all right? It's hard to get a great job without a degree. Here would have been the nice advice. But guess what? a lot of people are going to get bachelor's degrees. So you're going to need to find something else to separate yourself. And by the way, that doesn't have to be a master's and an MBA. You don't have to go way into debt. You got to do other things. You got to do internships, unpaid, all right, that are going to suck and you're going to hate them. But if you really want that great life, you got to do those. You got to do community service. That'll stand out. Be involved in organizations. Those will help you stand out. We weren't told that. And I know it because I was there, right? I was never told that. All I was ever told, get your bachelor's degree and you'll get a great job. I remember seeing the stats when I was in high school. This is what someone earns with a bachelor's degree versus someone with a high school education. But that was for the baby boomers, which it was much more common then to not have a bachelor's degree. So it actually separated you, right? Like, just mistaught growing up. You know, that's another thing that doesn't get talked about. There was some bad deals in there. So that's my rant. You know, I have nothing against the millennials. I am one, so I probably shouldn't. I have nothing against baby boomers. You know, in fact, the most influential people I know are mostly baby boomers to my life, right? And my best mentors are mostly baby boomers. But it's not because they're baby boomers. Not like, oh, you were special because you're a baby boomer. No, you're just older. You've been through more. You got more to tell us. More learning, right? You've learned the most, right? The older you are, the more you've learned. It, you know, as far as a general rule of thumb. So, like, that's all it is, guys. All right. It's just when you're young, you make mistakes. And yeah, you're probably a little lazier. And these ones might even be a little more because they don't have a wife and kids to look after, or a husband and kids. All right. And they're when they're 23. So it's not that they're bad people. They just had a little different way of an upbringing and technology. And then also they're just young. That's really all it is. That's at the end of the day, they're young. And when you were young, you probably weren't amazing either. All right. You learned the things you learned over the last 30 years. That's my spiel. Looking forward to Monday morning. We're going to have a new release with a new guest. Bomb and Gouge Podcast. Thanks.